The Kemmick Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.
Yes, welcome back to the Kenwick Cricket Club podcast on, is it Wednesday? Yes,
it is Wednesday.
Can't count the days. But the latest start ever to a podcast, Steve. What's the time? It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, a bit after nine.
And as you mentioned, as we're walking in, a bit of Kenwick after dark stuff.
Yeah, things are going to get real raunchy, a bit spicy this episode.
Yep.
Thank you to you and our guests who we'll introduce very, very soon for being so accommodating of my schedule.
Very good week of cricket, 3 wins. I thought we were going to get the 4 wins there for a while. We were talking about it at the bees in the change room, thinking maybe we were going to have drinks on camp.
Gee, it's the dream, isn't it? It's the dream.
We thought we'd done it once and then we had it taken away from us.
I think the only thing better than that would be if Jax opened his wallet and decided to buy everyone around. I think that's the sweetest plum.
Yeah, look, I think you're drawing at straws for that to happen. But
if you're listening, Jackson, I bet you are. Maybe just open up that wallet.
Well, Stephen, do you want to go through our guest stats and welcome him to the podcast?
Now, you know I like to do a little bit of research, Matty, as is my want and the listeners need. What I would say is if this man was a pastor, he'd be a rigatoni. Been touted as the most beautiful man in all of Kenwick.
Yeah.
Not just me saying that, there are other sources saying that.
Can you name other people?
Oh, look, just go through the list of people we've had playing for us this year. Angad Mangat, 23 of the finest games for the Kenwick Royals Cricket Club, which all amounts to you being the 91st highest run scorer in the history of the Kenwick Cricket Club.
Nice.
439 runs at an average of 20.90. We'll call that 21. 350s, high score of 72 versus Phoenix in 6th grade, round 5 last year, which is a little bit ironic when we get into what you were doing on Tuesday this week. 3 ducks, equal 58th on the all-time wicket takers list, 40 wickets, an average of 10.95, and very generously I'll call that 10. Best bowling, 5 for 52, again versus Phoenix, however that was in the semi-final last year of 6th grade. 12 catches, 1 run out. So without further ado, the most beautiful man in all of Kenwick, Angad Mangat.
Thanks for having me on, boys.
Now, is it most beautiful man in Kenwick or Beckenham? Because we're not actually based in Kenwick.
Look, that is correct, but I believe I've actually been quoted as saying the most beautiful man in all the cosmos.
Right.
So do with that what you will.
Now, start off with this Tuesday stuff. Now, you've been playing a bit of Formula 15 for Phoenix, is that correct?
Yeah, got asked to play the third round of the competition after we played the cultural tournament with them.
Yep.
And I guess I went all right, so they liked what I did in the game, asked me to play again for the final. So, yeah, went and played down there last night.
Interesting to note that you'd think there'd be some sort of qualification status.
Well, 3 qualifying games. You played a third of the game.
I guess you played one, so I guess that's probably enough.
Maybe it's our fault for not putting an F-15 team together.
It's definitely not. Because by the end of that F-15 journey, it was just like, we can't fill a team. And it was just like, we don't care about this enough.
We didn't have Angad.
That's true.
No, I could imagine we'd struggle for pulling 11 people on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
They'd all be night games at Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe we can make that happen.
Look, if you didn't have games on a Saturday, some Friday night cricket would suit well.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Interestingly, I was going through the laws of Formula 15 cricket.
Yeah.
And it mentions you can have later games at Mills Park 2 as long as the two teams agree. Specifically mentioned.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mills Park 2.
What?
Okay.
As long as both teams agree.
We didn't know about that.
So, that's in the SMCA rules for Formula 15.
Well, all the other clubs that are listening, because we know
they play at Mills.
We know they are listening.
We'll put the lights on.
Yeah.
Come down to Mills 2, 7 down. O'clock games.
Say g'day.
I recall, I think it was like, we only started doing it to play night cricket, and it was like our first or second game, and they wanted us to go play 4:30 at Kwinana.
No.
We're never making that.
It takes exactly 2 hours to run through the game anyway. 7 to 9 under the lights would be a good game.
Perfect.
Every week.
Yeah.
Bit of mood lighting really sets the tone. Yeah.
Maybe next year. Maybe we start our own
Road competition.
Yeah.
No, that's too much work. I'm not interested.
Maybe
we'll
even offer to host the final. Open the bar for you guys.
Yeah. Why would you not? I assume your final was played in the afternoon.
Yeah, Oh, well, yeah, 4-5 o'clock.
Yeah, get under some lights.
No lights there.
Yeah. Disappointing. How'd you find the Formula 15 format overall? What do you think of it?
A bit different.
I enjoy it. The only part I think felt awkward was bowling from the same end, just 8 overs in one go and 7 from the other end.
Bit village.
That's just, yeah, bit village about.
Yeah.
Bit of village about that.
Which you wouldn't have to do if you had the lights and you weren't restricted by time.
Yeah, so it's 50, but it makes sense with 55 minutes in innings, you would have to do that.
Yeah.
To run through the innings quicker. But that was probably the only aspect which just threw me off a little. Other than that, I like short format. I like T20s, I like 15 overs, so I was happy playing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Did you bowl all your overs from the same end, or did you get chop and change?
No, both the games I bowled two from at the start, so the second and the fourth, and then I'd bowl one at the end.
One at the death, okay.
Very nice. Let's run through a few of the results from the weekend, Stephen.
Big weekend.
What grade do we want to start with?
Well, I like an upward trajectory, so let's start with the Fs.
The Fs, okay. One day Fs, they had a pretty good team together, but they were playing against, I think, nearly top of the ladder, Thornley, which was a tough game. Kenwick had a side filled with Caleb Evans, Kashal Raj Sabidi in his second game. Connor McDermott, Zach Hale, Tanuj Azad, Jack Mills, Talon Stewart, Mamahit Singh, Liam Chinnery, John Saviotti, and Andre Hale. So,
and I'm familiar with most of those names.
Yeah, a great little 11. Look, there wasn't many players that set the world on fire with the bat. Johnny Saft deciding to bat himself down at 10, coming in hitting 3 quick boundaries. Maybe come in earlier, John.
Yeah, what could have been?
Caleb Evans, his second senior game, I think, opened the batting, batted for, I think it was 56 balls for that 14. So
yeah, nice.
Showed a bit of grit, but which is very against his natural game because he likes to go pretty hard.
He's a bit of a yee-haw cowboy, isn't he?
He is. Jack Mills made 13. He batted for apparently 15 overs for that 13.
He did look exceptionally happy on Saturday night. So that could be it.
And Mamahit Singh with 11 not out as well, batting for a long period of time, which again is against his natural game as well, because he likes to go down swinging. But I guess we didn't get bowled out, which is exciting. John Saff 2 for 12 off his 7 as well, just doing John Saff's things. Caleb Evans with 1 for, Andre Hale with 1 for, and unfortunately that was all.
Yeah, 5 for 194, a mountain too far, too high to climb for our boys at 8 for 95.
I did hear they got the Thornley batsman Cooper Clark caught behind for under 30 and it wasn't given. He went on to make 62. So, I guess it happens, doesn't it?
You get that on the big jobs.
Let's jump into 6th grade, who had a phenomenal win in the death.
See, this is the game of the round for me.
Yeah, very, very good win. We finished pretty early and we're watching in the change room, and then Hersey struck with the final wicket, which is very, very exciting. I think Hilton were 1 for 70 or something.
Yeah, chasing that. And stinking hot.
Yeah.
Probably a nice little breeze down there at Hilton. But the man in, you know, he's not a young man, Bradley Hurst. I don't think he'd mind me saying that.
Yeah.
Taking 4 for, bowling 20-some overs in that heat to bowl his side to his victory in his 150th game for the club. That's fairy tale stuff.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great effort, isn't it?
Ably supported by young Chuck Ingram.
Yeah, 18 overs, 3 for 14.
Yeah. You see the vision when the last wicket falls. Chuck falls to the ground. Full body cramps. Can't do anything.
And also took 2 ripping catches.
Yeah, I wondered when this was going to come up.
I was shocked by it, but then I saw it on the vision. I'm like, they're pretty good catches.
Yeah, absolutely plucked them. I mean,
I think he just didn't have time to think about it.
Old Buckets Ingram, we used to call him.
Look, he didn't have time to use his chest, because that's what he normally does, trying to take his chest marks.
I mean, even more impressive when you consider the size of his hands.
No, I reckon Chuck Ingram, least rated man.
Underrated. At the club?
Yeah.
Yeah, underrated,
I reckon.
Oh, he's a superstar player.
Or under-celebrated.
Yeah, I like that.
I reckon he's rated. He's just under-celebrated.
I think definitely in the fielding department, everyone was shocked by those 2 catches.
Probably none more so than him.
What, put together it on the Kenwick TikTok, first TikTok we've posted in a long time. But, yeah, 2 very, very good catches. And I think Dave got a couple as well, so...
Yeah, 2 for 40 for Davo.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an outstanding effort. Only the 4 bowlers used in trying conditions, so... Chook said, boys, I've got a plan. Let's just work together, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and we'll take care of business.
So a great win for 6th grade. They're just outside the 4 now. One day Bees, we had a pretty good win. End up playing a bit of a T20 match.
not a bit of a T20 match and exactly a T20 message. Now, Matty messages me Saturday afternoon. I'm in the change room, you know, just trying to go about my life, get ready. And he's like, can we play like a 30-over game?
No, nah, 20-over game. I asked straight away.
He asked for a T20.
I was like, Matty, that's fucking yuck. That's some village shit. Why do you want to do that? And he's like, it's a bit hot. The boys are a bit for it. And I went, okay, well, like,
and we were like, this is gonna, we were like, this will work in our advantage, and it did.
I think I can actually exactly describe what happened. Rock up, it's 39 degrees. We've gotten there about half an hour ago before the Thornley team rocks up, and the captain rocks up first and looks at Matty and goes, a bit hot, isn't it? Shall we consider a T20?
And at first, I was like, no. And then we're in the change rooms, and I was like, hang on, I was like, no, we should. It'll work. And I'm like, okay.
No, I knew it. We had the younger team.
Especially when they said that we could keep one day field. I was like, oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, just like fall into my trap.
T20 game, you get the younger boys, you can run around the field. And they go, yeah, we'll keep the fields out as well. No worries, no need for the first six overs in. Yeah, we'll take that. We'll bat first. We'll put 110 on the board and just chuck everyone out.
Yeah. I remember one ball got hit in the boundary on a square leg and I went, put him back. Just let him have one. And I went, yeah, good call.
Why not? Hey, have the one instead of the four.
Tomo had the day of his life, just went out there, batted at five and just stood off for the second innings, just having a sip of water. Did run out some good drinks for us, though.
Did he?
No, yeah. Tomo ran out drinks continuously.
Yeah,
Chief hydration officer.
Yeah. He said he actually felt like he probably did more work outside the field than he did on the field. But Gooch did say to him after the game, Tomo, what do you reckon? Maybe we keep this 11AB scenario. You bat, I field. Tomo was all for it.
Gee whiz. Although, I reckon the man would like to bowl.
Yeah, potentially. But he said he's pretty happy on the sideline.
Quick shout out to Gooch for coming down and helping sub field for you, Mob.
He did.
It was exceptional, I heard, by all reports.
He was brilliant.
Did a beautiful job in the keeper.
Phenomenal effort. And a good win. So we're just outside the four as well.
So things, like, if the Kenwick Cricket Club is a cauldron, things are just bubbling.
Things are brewing. Things
B's, sixes and fours are all in there, and F's are, like, stirring the pot.
Yeah.
F's are observing, following the recipe.
Yeah.
Things are building. Something's coming here.
So talk us through what happened at Fallsgrove, Kent, because as much as you won, it obviously wasn't the ideal day. We got back and Angat was sitting there having an ice cream going, gee, I'm glad I'm not out there.
It was a nice day in the field, looked like.
pretty dog shit day at cricket, to be perfectly honest. Look, we had discussions through the week. About when to declare, because we wanted to go for an outright, you know, which is, you know, given the position of the game, it's a sensible thing to do. Chatty messaged the package and was like, hey man, why give them any time, not allowing us to move the game forward? Let's just declare, let's put the pressure back on them, and if we need to chase late runs at the end of the day, then we can do that, which sounded like a very reasonable premise.
Hey, Chatty, I'd just like to get it on record. I fully supported your decision. I believed in your call.
And I thought it was a great call, too.
A beautiful call.
Package, and then you had him one for five and you must have gone, how good is this?
Package got a wicket in, like, I don't know, his second or third over. And then we were like, oh, sweet. And like, this is going to be like last week. And I think they might have got to T one down. And it was stinking hot. And we just went, you know what? This is a bit fucked. And I remember distinctly... it might have been the drinks break after tea when they were probably like three down or something like that. And Package was like, should we just call this? And every fiber of my being, like every sinew of what's left of both my hamstrings was like, yeah, I reckon that's a good idea. We probably call this. But then my brain was like, nah, you've always preached points are important. Got to get those points. So I very grudgingly was like, no, Package, let's try and keep getting these points.
Wow. Credit to Rolly Stone for batting out the day five down.
To be honest, like, we definitely had an off day. Like, the general vibe just in the change room was like, oh, it's so hot, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. If we were playing against a stronger team, like, obviously we wouldn't have been in that position, but we also maybe wouldn't have repeated what we did. So, I don't know. Hindsight's a beautiful thing. Cop it on the chin, and you know what we did say after the game was, well boys, this is what it's going to be like against Coburn. Like, these blokes aren't going to give us anything for free.
That's true.
They're going to keep us out here forever and a day, and they're going to try and grind our nose into the dirt. So, you know, here's a taste of what's to come.
Yeah, so overall, you guys are still sitting in second, I think.
Yeah, and look, we talked about if we, you know, managed to do the job, we could have jumped up into first. Not to be. Much rather be in second than, you know, a lot of the other teams. So
yep,
it is what it is.
Junior's returning this week on Saturday and Sunday.
Very exciting.
So the under-11s will play Saturday at Centenary Park in Belmont.
Ooh.
Another Centenary Park before the Bees go to Centenary Park in Willerton in the afternoon.
Interesting.
But we'll see how they go. And then the 17s are back on Sunday and playing the team that they almost defeated in round one. So fingers crossed we can maybe get our first win.
It's party time. Mm. That's what you're telling me.
Numbers are back. Jake Collingwood might be making a Sunday return from after playing second grade for Bayswater the day before.
That's all right, eh?
Play under 17s for Kenwick. So we'll wait and see.
Good.
But yeah, we'll see how we go. Millsy's going to make his junior debut. He's available on the Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So see how Millsy goes in the
what sort of a role do you see him playing? Because like he's been playing with the seniors, so like
I don't know.
He's a bit of a big dog,
yeah,
going down there. But then he's a complete novice in the junior field, having played.
I will say, from seeing a lot of these junior teams, there's a lot of junior players, probably better than F grade players, playing against us.
Okay,
like district players that come back for a laugh to play under 17s and are steaming in off the full run-ups.
Right. So Millsy's in danger.
No, Millsy will probably just whack him for 6 or 4, I'd assume.
Okay. Because I'm just wondering, so like in this scenario, is Millsy Ollie Davies and like Arman is Dave Warner and like he comes out and champs him? Like is that what we're going to see?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Am I going to see a champing?
I think they'll be pretty excited to have Millsy as part of the team for the week before he returns to the tennis court.
Spiritual leader?
Yeah, maybe we'll make him captain for the day.
Gee, that'd be pretty...
Sorry, Caleb, take a step back.
Well, you'd lift the team up for the week.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Should we move on? Maybe we jump into the name game.
Yeah, okay. I'm all right with that. So, like, we often find with, you know, a couple of the guests we've had recently, small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
So it's truly difficult to be a coat and slip you up, because that is the whole intention of this, to not, you know, it's not for you to succeed. This is cricket. You're destined to fail. Mm-hmm. So... I've picked a game, Matty, and I sent it through to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I have a feeling I'm not going to know anyone from this game.
Well, let's hope so. So for everyone playing along at home, this was round 7 of the 6th grade season last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was against Cannington.
At Cannington?
I believe so.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to load up the game now so that I can... tell you who's who and what's what.
You made 64, if that helps.
Yeah, look, I think I distinctly remember that one, but yeah, we can. Yeah.
As much as I'm trying to set you up to fail, I'm also giving you the best possible chance at remembering everything, thus making your failure more disappointing.
I think I should be able to name a few from this round.
So, yeah, with all
what's
that...
What's the lowest?
Oh, I think... didn't he get, like, none? Like, didn't even name himself?
I think he named the
first... Did he have, like, 3?
I think he might have named himself, and then I think he named someone who he would have thought would have been there, but just wasn't there.
I'm thinking like 2 or 3. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I think the most is 10. Tomo assures me he got 11.
Well,
I'd have to check.
I listened to that episode the other day.
Yeah.
And there was conjecture about he said Spud. It was a yes no. So.
Why is it a yes no?
Well, he's either in there or he's not. He was like, was Spud there? And you were like, no. And I was like, well, is he just asking a question or is he submitting the answer? You're on.
He submitted it. Sorry, Jason.
Unlucky Jason.
10 out of 11.
Yeah, so...
Now he probably hit me.
That game, Kenwick 7 for 208.
Yep.
Cannington all out 106.
Mm-hmm.
So, by all means, feel free to fire at will.
All right, I'll get off the mic with myself.
Good start.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's round 7, so that's before Christmas. Skipper was still Imesh Gunathilaka.
Mm-hmm.
So Imesh is 2, Rav is 3.
Mm-hmm.
This is not in batting order.
We've started him with those 2.
Yeah, and almost. I remember Abhi playing that game.
Correct.
Amongst the bowlers, who did we have for spinner? Denny would have played that game. Or have I cooked it there?
He did not.
Ah, oh, no. So I got 2-4.
Keep going, though. We'll see.
Richard.
Yep.
Shahan.
Yep.
Hashan.
Yep.
Vep.
Yep, that's eight.
That's Raj.
No.
Ooh, Raj down with another injury. Well, to be honest, out of from there on, I don't remember much. Who else could have played? Cannington that round.
Two of them are still playing.
Two of them are still playing. Renault?
No.
Well, that's a good guess, though. Where was Renault?
Just being a chef somewhere, I'd imagine.
Who's still playing?
Hanging out with Gordon Ramsay, as is wont.
To the boys I've forgotten, I'm really sorry, but I will try and remember you. Fuck, who have I forgotten?
Should we reveal it?
One has a real passion for karaoke.
Fuck. Oh, Damon.
Yeah.
Damon was playing. Fuck, I forgot the token white boy. And Paddy? No, he didn't play.
Nah.
Paddy played the last game. Paddy played against Rolly Stone. I remember that was his first game. Does he bat? Does he bowl?
He bowls darts, would you say? Is that a fair assumption?
Fucking work out which one it is. Oh, yeah.
I can't give you anything about the other one because I've.
I think he's not too bad with the bat, but he has no confidence in himself with the bat and prefers batting 11. But he's a bowler.
Oh, Nimesh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Nimesh. He used to be a key player for us.
Number 11, Lahiro Fernando.
I remembered Lahiro from the first few games, but I didn't think he was still playing at round 7.
Where's that bloke? Where is he?
Because he just disappeared about halfway.
I don't think I've ever met him.
I think the first time Lahiro... He used to work a lot. I think he just started working on Saturdays is what I think happened. Right. But Imesh would probably be a better guy to tell us before he disappeared himself.
Yep, fair enough. So not a bad effort in the end. I know there were a few that we missed, but
pretty trash. I'll give myself four before I fucked up.
Swings and roundabouts, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Like I said, it's designed for you to fail.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very nice. Well, let's jump into our votes for the round, Stephen. Did you have any honourable mentions before we do get into our votes?
Full disclosure, I've been pretty busy. Put nowhere near as much effort into the votes this week, which is disrespectful, and I'm sorry.
Did them 2 minutes before we started the podcast.
That's a lie. No, it's the truth. It's very true.
All right, normally I'll sit at home, you know, of a Monday afternoon, just, you know, trying to ease through my first day of work, and I'll go through my cricket and analyse and, you know, deconstruct all of everything that's going on. Just didn't have time.
Fair enough. All right, Stephen, who are your honourable mentions?
Hayden Narducci gets my one vote. No honourable mentions. Okay. Anyone who played cricket in that godforsaken heat and survived is an honourable mention.
Okay.
Hayden Narducci gets my one vote. As we alluded to, came down. You didn't really have a keeper in your side. You sort of had a bits and pieces.
We had lots of bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces.
Callan, who keeps in the juniors. Hashan, who's kept before, and I met him, and he's like, maybe if you need, I'll give it a crack.
But Hayden was that final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And you put it all together and, gee, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, he kept extremely well. So, look, when we'll see him again, who knows? But we might never see him again.
The mysterious Gooch.
Yeah. My honourable mentions, I had a few honourable mentions, Gooch being one of them. Caleb took a wicket and made 14 opening the bat. Millsy to bat 15 overs as well. Certainly his defence is getting a bit better. Johnny Saff, another honourable mention, and Manny as well. And Tomo batted well for his 19, I thought. Found a little bit of form and was running between the wickets quite hard. I reckon he was ready to collapse by the end of it. But my one vote actually went with Angat.
Tufa.
And no, because it's not all about what you do on the field. Like, he hasn't played bees before. And most of the time I put in the group chat, can someone get ice? And there's just no one. But Angat was straight on it and got the ice.
That's a force spread mentality there.
Which is very, very handy because a lot of the boys just see it and just don't say anything.
Oh, a few Dan Jackson types. Yeah. Boys a bit scared to open their wallets.
Mm. But no, Angat the one vote there.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. That's
appreciate
a great shout.
Buddy.
No worries.
My two votes, Darcy Jones. 3 for 14 and 25. Fuck, that's a good game. I'd have that every week.
Yeah, for sure.
If I scored 25 every week, fuck, I'd be touching the front of my shorts. I'd be excited.
Yeah, he batted very well opening the batting, or batting three? Batting three. Batted really well. Oh, another shout-out, though. I haven't gotten the votes there. Lewis Jones. He batted real well opening the batting.
Yeah, actually. What did he get, 35, I think?
Yeah, I was just... He was right on the brink. He didn't take a wicket.
Bowled really well.
Yeah, he didn't take a wicket.
Get pressure on for Donny.
No, he did bowl very, very well.
And he took two beautiful catches, one off yourself.
He did. Probably the worst ball I bowled as well.
Hard done.
Very hard done. Just missing out.
And you're thinking to yourself, how do I get Ian Archibald in my five votes?
No, I'm not you.
Well, my bias towards Ian is your bias toward the one-day bees.
I wouldn't have thought that, so, brother. Mm. Mate, who from fourth grade is getting a vote this week?
Well, you let me tell you later on when I give my five votes to him.
Oh, Jesus. My two votes went to Brad Hurst for his forfer. Really just carried the team in the heat. Yeah, mate.
If that's not recency bias, then I don't know what it is. I've looked around.
Four wickets.
Bowled the house votes. Down, did a phenomenal job.
And got two votes.
Bowled 705 overs in a 65 over game, which defies logic.
Look, mate. Fantastic. Two votes. That to you, Stephen.
My three votes is who you're probably giving five votes to. The man, the myth, the legend, Don Jagged Doge.
You're a disgrace.
Look, listen here, brother. Listen here.
The vote turned him square, mate.
That's a genuine lie. He bowls doorknobs. That being said, he opened a lot of doors for you boys to get to that victory. And I got a lot of time for Don, and it's disappointing that you boys didn't help assist him to get that fifer. That elusive fifer.
Were those his career best figures? No, not quite.
I think 4 for 9 might be his best.
And it was this year as well. It was against
special
Wilson.
Mention to Darcy there. Nice catching, brother.
Usually, like, real safe hands, Darcy, as well. The first one, he was, like, going real hard, and it was a bit of a tough catch, but still would have expected. The second one, sitting there, I'm like, oh, that's out. Oh, and then he dropped it. My three votes, I went with Sean Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
3 for 14, lots of maidens, and I thought the two good slick catches is why I just put him above her.
So that was first respectful vote in there for you.
Look, it was a tough one.
Oh, the two were howlers.
No, mate, you're phenomenal too far.
Oh. In front of Louis.
Almost broke mid-on's hand.
Yeah, mid-off.
Oh. Mid-off, sorry. Stephen?
I'll just correct you there. It was actually 3 for 15, for sure.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Off 18 overs with 8 maidens.
Just so you can correct my spelling in group chats.
Well, you're welcome. But that's the reason also that I gave him my votes. Sean Ingram, 4 votes.
Nice.
I'll tell you what, it's a real nice development that I'm seeing from him. Like, at the start of the year, he was like just some little cuck bitch that was given captaincy, which was the right decision, but it was a little cuck bitch and everyone was just telling him what to do and walking all over him, and now he's starting to become daddy. He's growing into daddy.
Yeah.
He's not quite full daddy yet. I think he's maybe step daddy.
Now, if you go back and actually watch the vision of Chooks, I think it's his second catch.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but if you turn up the volume, you can hear Jack say, fuck, he's a slips natural. Where the fuck did this come from? So go back and turn up the volume and have a listen to that.
Daniel Jackson, fielding coach extraordinaire.
My 4 votes I gave to Darcy. I think the best he's bowled for us as well. Took 3 for and batted really well too.
Yeah, in terms of an all-round performance, that's probably the highlight of the week. But it's a 2020, which isn't real cricket. So
it is now.
No.
Still got the full points, brother.
And so, yeah, you complained last year about playing 2020s.
Yeah, but when it suits us, it's fine.
Oh, I see. One of those guys.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
When it all contributes to the same ladder.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. My 5 votes appropriately went to Bradley Hurst. 21 overs in that fucking godforsaken heat. I'm pretty sure he'd be pushing 40. If he's not 40, sorry, Hursty, I don't know exactly your age or your fucking Medicare number or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure he's like late 30s, almost pushing 40. No one fucking in any of our other teams is getting anywhere near bowling 21 overs on that day in that heat. And he bowled his team to a clutch win, defending 126. That is daddy.
Yeah. 9 to win.
Yeah.
Last wicket.
Phenomenal
stuff. And
Matty
gives him, 2 fucking words?
Look, he's still got 7 for the week.
Get better.
5 votes I gave to Don.
Of course you did.
He opened up, bowled really well. And Donny bowled really poorly the week before, so he just bounced back superbly.
Well, you got to back your stars, don't you?
Yeah, look, he was back with a vengeance in his 100th game.
Not the Melbourne Stars, though.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't back them.
Yeah, so great effort by Don in his 100th.
Yeah. I also really enjoyed the post that you put on the Facebook page about Don and just the look on Don's face, like when he's holding the ball. You know the picture I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I bet you were like, yeah. Like, I just imagine you with a camera being like, yes, 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 no!
Yeah, I was pretty happy to get the photo of Donny.
Yeah, very, very much what the fans wanted.
Now, not to bag you too much, Stephen. Last week you weren't here, as we know.
Yeah,
but, yeah. So we played a game which Sean claimed he organised, but we all know that you organised.
Yeah,
you did a poor job.
Yeah, look, and you're right to call me out on it. There was no bias in it. It was just poor work on my behalf.
We're naming people. I'm going, he's definitely done it. Nah, yeah. He's on the list.
And I thought. See, this is why I was like, oh, should I give this info to you? Should I give it to?
Well, this is why I was like, maybe Stephen didn't put this together because Stephen's so good on the stats.
Yeah,
that's why I was surprised. I
definitely mucked up. So when you log into the My Cricket website, you can actually export the data to Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, like when I previously liked to look through who's got the most ducks and things like that, I was having to play around some real fucking nonce shit.
Mm.
I was looking through all the data and I was like, oh, who's done this? Who's done that? And yeah, I just fucked up. That's the long and the short of it. I just fucked up.
Yeah.
So maybe for the week I won't be stats dog.
No, you're right. You keep going.
Yeah, look, I apologise.
No, the game was in shambles. Give it to him.
Another thing as well, the quiz night. How do we all enjoy that? The quiz night.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good night. Having CC and Dry on tap at the footy club. That was pretty handy.
There were a lot of controversy about the periodic table question.
Oh, I tell you what, that a lot of respect to Davo for organising everything, doing the questions, emceeing and everything that he did. Really appreciate that. I thought that aspect of the night was good. The periodic table, not for me. Not for me. Letting there be potentially 100 and fucking however many points. Not for me. I don't like that. But that's where we find ourselves.
How do you find it, Anger?
Well, my team struggled. We won the books.
Good books, though.
Good books. Well, we won them. But had to leave early.
Yep.
Which kind of didn't help my team, given that the periodic table question would have been perfect for me, having fucking studied just science all my life.
Where did you go? Because I recall being very munted and rolling into showers at 2 a.m. and you were there.
I was there. I always come back.
I was like, oh.
No, I had to go to a mate's, high school mate's birthday.
Very good.
For a couple of hours.
So are you saying if you were there, you think your team could have finished a little bit higher?
I think I heard the lowest amount someone got was 24 out of 100 and fucking something. Yeah, mm. I think we'd be all right.
Because Sean Ingram's table, which was actually in first at the end of every round, finished last.
Mm.
Yeah, no science boys there.
Yeah.
Early to ripen, early to ripen.
All bloody accountants there.
Yeah, yeah. I was still surprised they were in first at any point.
I tell you what, I don't
Gooch wanna, is a sneakily smart
might,
man.
Might be a bit of Google going around.
Yeah, I don't want to cast any aspersions or defame anyone, but if those boys weren't cheating, I'd be very surprised.
I'll do it for you. The fucking average IQ going around that table wasn't very high, so there was a bit of Google happening there.
So I'm in a group chat with Sheehan, fuck, I hate that bloke, and Sean Ingram. Obviously, because we need to hit the teams and stuff.
Yeah, captain's chat, if you will. I know you will.
Anyway, we don't have Zach Haler now, unfortunately, but I guess we'll get him in there.
Maybe Andre?
Maybe we should. But anyway, they were going through, they're just talking about stats during the week. So Sean has 21 wickets, I have 19, and Sean has 18.
Oh, cute.
So Sean said, why don't we make a little bet? And so you get the most wickets. And I said $800 as a joke. Sheehan was too scared. And Sheehan wants it to be from now because he feels like 3 wickets is too much for him to catch up on Sean.
What?
Even though Sean misses another week. but
and Sean actually tried. He could.
And he's the captain and decides when he bowls.
Choose what to bowl, what fucking field he wants.
Yeah, you know, when you're seven down, come on, clean up the tail, Sean.
Maybe you know, living at home, the rent's a bit too high for him. He can't pony up the dough.
Anyway, it came to a decision that we're going to go through the rest of the season, and the winner doesn't have to do it, but the two losers are going to perform a song together at the wind-up. So when I win, I'm going to make Sean and Sean perform a song.
I don't want that, but if I want the most awkward combination possible in that, and like I can't imagine Sean.
That'd be Sean and Gooch. No, Sean and Chuck.
So
you'd lean into it.
No, I don't really want to do it.
No, I've seen you do karaoke.
You win enough drinks, you'd be all right.
I'd definitely Sean have to pre-drink before the wind-up. Hey,
Sean even on drinks. I'll show you a celebration later, a video of Sean doing the suit. And that is awkward even after half a bottle of whiskey.
Very good. Well, we'll see what happens there. Sean does miss a week soon. And Sean was still going, oh, no, we should stay. I'm like, Sean, you're 3 weeks behind, mate. It's all right. You can
take
catch
a
up.
Be the man.
Yeah, he's like, no.
Take a fucking 8 for against Coburn, win the game, and you'll be all right.
Gee whiz, exactly. Fuck yeah, that's hot.
Exactly.
Anyone taking an 8 for against Coburn.
I said to him, I'm like, if you take a 5 for and Sean takes none, you're ahead.
Just tell him to bowl like you did against Chandercote.
Yeah. Should we jump into some questions?
Yeah, got a few.
Okay.
Got Here a few go. Questions this week.
All right.
Just going to go on record, I fucking love the boys sending in questions.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I always ask people to stitch you up. Like, whoever's coming in, I always ask for a stitch up. This week was the first time I've ever actually had to like pull questions. Mm. So thank you boys for helping us cross that threshold where I had to somewhat censor the questions coming in.
Yeah, looking forward to these.
Well,
now.
Yeah.
Anonymous writes a lot of questions this week.
Do you want to kick it off?
Could we maybe start with the audio question
okay.
that I sent to you? I want to set the tone.
Okay, so this is from an anonymous listener.
Correct.
Who knows who. And it's an audio question, so I'll play it and we'll have a listen. We'll let Anger answer.
It's activist, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Pepe Julian Onzima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
Good morning.
Me. Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
That's all. That's it.
I think the right answer is for the boys.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's
interesting that someone would send that question in anonymously.
For moral, physical, and emotional support.
For the fair, boys. Fair enough.
Can't emphasize the physical enough.
Physical enough, yeah.
Yeah. Stephen, over to you.
Ask him how Jill is.
I think Jill is doing fine in Thailand somewhere.
Oh.
I saw the story the other day and she's enjoying herself.
Yeah, I should have asked for more context on that question, but do you want to elaborate any further?
I think the question has sufficiently been answered. We'll leave the context out.
He's a smart man. Unlike other people come on this podcast and just start yelling out secrets.
I've learned from the main man himself, Abby, and I will only answer the question to the point it needs to be answered.
Very good.
No context given.
Very good. Ethan Quinlivan, big listener of the show, asks, do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, I do. There's okay. enough fucking galaxies and planets going around. It'd be almost stupid to think we're the only fucking smart species around the universe, and it's forever expanding, so there's probably some planet out there. Highly unlikely they'll ever find us.
Yeah.
But there's probably some kind of smart species floating around.
Okay. Stephen, back to you.
See, I respect that answer, but then the other part of me is like, if they're so smart, why wouldn't they come and hang out with us?
Well, we're pretty fucking smart. Can we find them?
No, we're not that smart. I don't think humans are very smart.
Hey, we got to the second planet, started from apes. I think we're all right.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah. Well, other than we're going to probably end up on it before we fucking get to...
Get anywhere near that. Yeah. Maybe that's why they don't come here. They're like, oh, yeah. Fuck that noise.
They'd only have something to give, nothing to take from us.
Mm, very fair. Until otherwise stated, these questions are all anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you please ask him if he's going to Butterfly this weekend?
This weekend, yeah. I will be there on Saturday night. Rav's older brother, Brad's having his birthday at Butterfly. So we'll be there on Saturday night.
Very good.
What can you tell me about Butterfly?
I can tell you that it's a fantastic venue. Better on Fridays than Saturdays. And the fact that I managed to take Pinto there one night will tell you that it goes all right.
Interesting. I need to get Pinto on this podcast.
He will tell you otherwise, but it goes all right.
Nice. Ian Archibald asks, he wants to know what hair and face product you use.
Hey, I'm going to be very honest with you. Anti-fucking-dandruff Selsun is what I put on my head because I have a ridiculous fucking dandruff problem. My beard gets no attention.
Okay.
It gets fucking body soap, whatever fucking shampoo flows down to the beard. That's all it gets.
Gets the dregs. Gets what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
I struggle to believe that.
Oh.
I'm not saying you're a liar. I'm saying I struggle to believe it. Although the gloss and the shine off the hair that I see in this light comparative to the beard, maybe he's right.
Mate, the beard gets no attention. I'm telling you that right now.
Back to you, Stephen.
Is it true that he broke up with his girlfriend right before her uni exams?
My ex now.
good start.
Yeah, but to be fair, she didn't do her uni exams. She deferred them before I broke up with her. So I was, let's make this clear for the record, I was waiting till the uni exams were over, and I can tell this is fucking Pinto asking this question. Thanks, Pinto, for airing my secrets. Nah. Anonymous, my ass. I was waiting for the uni exams to be over, and we were just chatting, and she said, oh, I deferred my exams. I was like, ah, you're single then. just waiting to tell you.
She's just pushed it through a cover and said yes, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
I was waiting for you to finish your exams, so here we go. Yeah.
Okay.
That was about it. I was considerate, just saying.
Back to Ethan Quinlivan, and he asks, have you seen ghosts?
Have I seen ghosts? No, that would be a negative.
Okay.
I can confirm no sighting of ghosts.
Fair enough. I'll give another one from Ethan, because that was quite a small one. He wants to know, do you have a favourite Avenger and why?
I like Iron Man, just because of how blatantly fucking arrogant he was. And I think the boys would agree that I can relate.
Well, I mean, he's a genius.
Mm. Oh, I don't know about the genius bit. Fucking arrogant, though. Yeah, I can relate there.
Well, a bit of both.
Yeah,
a bit of both. All
right. I'll take your compliment, Kempi.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Was not wearing a condom a good idea when sleeping with a complete random?
Oh, God.
to be fair, these are the censored questions that got through.
Oh, my God.
The test done back in Australia and the clean report would suggest it was fine.
This podcast used to be real cricket-centric podcast, and now it's a little bit of Kenwick stuff, and then, look, how can we stitch this bloke up?
Yeah, they come in for me, these boys.
Moving on, a question here from... No, Sean Ingram's asked about products in your hair as well, so we won't go through that again. Mm. An anonymous question. Ask him about a certain three-way kiss with tongue he had with two male friends.
Look, this is all I have to say about it. As I mentioned in my first question, for the boys, everything's fine. Emotional, physical...
Saturdays are for the boys.
Saturdays are for the boys. And as I can recall, it was a Saturday night.
Very nice.
Okay. Ask him if he's ever hooked up with someone his mate was also trying to hook up with.
Fuck. Can I remember this one? Oh, I think I remember this one. This one either came from... two of my close Sri Lankan mates. So a girl I had previously hooked up with was at the party. Friend number one. I would not like to mention his name for his own safety. Got approached by this girl, and being a lovely mate, I walked up to him and was like, this is probably not a good idea. Friend number one. And after he proceeded to get away from her, I took the bullet for him. So I took the floating arrow and I made out with her. So, yeah, just looking after me, mates. You know?
So you're the good guy.
Just looking after my mates. That's all.
Taking one for the team.
Yeah, taking one for the team, mate. Like, if I let them go long enough drunk, he would make the bad choice. I made it for him.
Renewal wants to know, what is it like to be so sexy?
That's a tough one. It's a struggle. Not gonna lie, I'll take it on the chin. I struggle not hooking up with Renault whenever I see him, so I'd have to ask him that question.
Very nice.
It's a burden being wonderful.
It's a burden being wonderful.
Yeah. This, Matty, there's levels. There's a lot of levels here.
Oh, it's only going up as I see.
Actually, you know what? I'll come back to that.
Yeah, thank you.
In a cricket related sense, this one's from not from Anonymous, but from Anons.
From Anons.
Anons wants to know.
Yep.
If you could go back in time and change one thing on a cricket field, with respect to a game that you played in.
Yep.
What would it be and why?
A certain semi-final. 2 years back, 3 years back, we were playing, well, when I was back at Willerton still, semi-final of the season, hadn't lost a game, 2 runs to win against South Perth, number 11, myself walks out, defends 8 balls, tries to push the 9 for a single, gets LBW, 1 run to win,
oh, no.
1 to draw, 2 to win. I would have charged him down and hit him over long on. At least tried to. I'd much rather get stumped than get fucking LBW trying to push a single. That's the only regret I have in fucking cricket.
Gee, cricket's got some real fucking gut-wrenching moments, doesn't it?
I hate myself for doing that.
Heartbreak.
Oh, I'll never defend dying. I can tell you that for now. You catch me, but you'll never fucking get me LBW again.
Very nice.
That actually flows into your stats. I looked at how many times you've only been out LBW once for Kenwick.
Yep, mate, no chance. You wouldn't catch me dead.
Dinny asks, how did Movember go for you this time around? Last time I checked, Movember went for the whole month of November. So is there a reason you were sporting a full beard 10 days in? Did you grow the beard back out for a female, or can we just put this down to a piss-weak performance on your end? Embarrassingly, he posted his fundraiser page 2.
I think it lasted 22 days, if I'm right. I grew the beard back in the last 8 days. Yeah, piss poor performance on my end. Felt too naked without it. And when the beard grew back, I don't particularly remember what reason it was, but just didn't feel like taking it off at the end of... Oh! I was supposed to start my new job, and I didn't want to look like a nonce when I walked in there. So, kept the beard before I walked in.
Yep. Back to you, Stephen.
Harvey Menon writes in, what's your favourite shot? Now, he didn't specify, so that could be cricket-related, it could be alcohol-related. You tell me.
I'm not a man for shots when it comes to alcohol. So my favourite shot, probably straight back over the bowler's head.
That's tasty.
That's probably my go-to zone as well. I love a hook shot, but I get out to it a lot of times. So it comes off about 50% of the time. But I love sending the bowler back over his head. It's demoralising.
Oh, very much so, isn't it?
You do that first ball of the over, off his first spell.
Yeah, I'm daddy.
Oh, mate, you are in his head at that point.
As a bass myself, I hit the ball over the bowler's head.
I mean, you've always been a compulsive hooker, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Be it on the streets or in the sheets.
Yeah, very much so. Going back here to Ian Archibald, he wants to know, what has been your biggest achievement and accomplishment during your cricketing career so far?
I think I peaked pretty fucking early. under 17s, I think, second season. Team came dead last, or second last, I believe. But as beautiful as a game cricket is, when the team does shit and you take out the most wickets for the season in the comp, you take it.
I did my bit, boys.
Well,
what can I do?
I fucking took three every game, and you boys were still shit. Yeah. No, beautiful feeling.
Back to you, Steve.
Arby Men continues. What's your favourite wicket to take? So I presume he means mode dismissal.
I think I like seeing the stump splattered on the ground.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not much of a top of the off stump guy. I'd rather be falling straight or a fucking Yorker and see all three on the ground.
Mm.
So yeah. And yeah, it's demoralising for the other fucking team when you see three on the ground. Like, ah, fuck, this place might be alright.
This is Ethan Quinlivan. He wants to know, have you ever thought about going on Australian Idol?
Oh no, I am so fucking trash at singing. If I don't think I even sing at karaoke. I am really bad.
Fair enough.
I don't think that thought has never passed my fucking brain.
Not even when you're locked and loaded, you know, double digit deep?
Well, a few blokes in our team like going karaoke. I would name a few. Damon, Vidit's not in our team, but he's a regular there. Abhi Menon is a main culprit. So these boys wrote me in a couple of times. But I think I only remember once when I was there and actually practically singing. So once in about fucking 4 years of knowing these boys and going out with them regularly, I think I'll stay away from Australian Idol.
Fair enough.
Arby's got two more. Which of your exes do you miss the most?
The first one. I think that came out quick enough that was true. Yeah, that's the only one I miss.
Fair enough.
Cold-blooded Arby, cold.
A question here as well from Chris Chadwick. He wants to know if what beauty products you're endorsed by.
Ah, well, fucking sadly none. But I'd take my fucking shampoo sponsoring me. That shit's expensive, and not much. Like, it's small bottles for fucking $20. Not cheap.
Just quietly, give it 20-odd years time. A bit of Just for Men stuff. This man, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Arby concludes, who was the best root of 2022?
Fucking Arby.
We gotta get him on, don't we?
Oh yeah, wait for the fucking questions if you get on, Arby. Oh fuck, best root of 2022. Well, I haven't had many, to be honest, I could count them on a single fucking hand. So,
well, I mean, you did have a partner for the
2 months? 3 months? I don't know. Yeah. I'd say a certain bird that flew in to Perth for a week. And I'll leave it at that.
Very nice.
I think that'll be enough context for the 90% of the listeners. Yeah.
Renewal wants to know, don't know what this means, really. What's your favourite Sidhu Moose Walla song, and can you sing it for us?
I actually, hold up, I will pull it up. I won't sing it.
Okay.
But I will read out the name so the listeners can listen into. It's called Regret by Sidhu Moosewala.
Okay.
Right, and I won't play it, but yeah, Regret on Spotify by Sidhu.
Go check it out.
Have a listen if you'd like to.
Right, back to you, Stephen. What question do you have next?
Okay. Fuck, we got a few. Akash Misra writes in. Honest review. Who has the best vibe of a night out, and who has the worst?
Best vibe. My man, my main man, Vidit Vashisht. You cannot match this man. He is the guy you want to have prees with, because he will get you drunk. And when you get outside to the club, he'll be in his own world, and you'll be looking after him. Well, not looking after him, just looking out for him.
Vis-a-vis the KCC One Tour.
Yeah, vis-a-vis just making sure he's all right. But somehow, by the time you're back either at fucking Uncle Billy's or back to someone's house. This man resurrects out of nowhere.
He did do that at Sheehan's.
Proceeds to have 5 hours of fucking drinks and just a beautiful time at afters. So that is absolutely the man you want out.
So you're saying he's like Jesus 2.0? Like he doesn't wait till Easter. He doesn't wait 3 days.
He doesn't turn water to wine. He turns fucking water to tequila. He's the better Jesus.
Very nice. Jumping on to another question here from Dinesh. By any chance, did you swallow a radio when you were younger? Because at this point, it would just make sense, given he won't shut up.
I think I would take that from anyone other than Denny. That man on a few drinks has proceeded to fucking shut me up and keep talking. So I
alter ego call
Denny, just to you,
Giles
is worse than me. I would, other than that, fair fucking thing to say. I do speak a lot.
Fair enough.
To be fair, when I asked Denny for questions, and I said, "G'day, Denny. Can you or Giles please give me some questions this week?" Akash continues. Who needs to shower more?
Who needs to shower more? Fuck. That's a rough question. If anything, I'm gonna go solely on the basis of who doesn't fucking shower after games, and they'll go to rough answer, but I've never seen Ubi showering after games.
Interesting.
But he does go home and sometimes come back, I guess. But no, Ian never has he fucking showered after the game. Played fours all season long. Ian, have a shower, mate. Come on.
Ian, very, very close by, isn't he? Lives down the road.
Well, he's dirty with wickets, so he probably needs a shower.
How many wickets is he up to?
Let's say 21.
21.
Maybe, 22. I'll lock in 22.
Need to shower after the filthy balls in the fucking field.
Ethan Quinlivan wants to know if you believe in love at first sight.
Do I believe in? No, that's a fucking hoax, mate.
Yep, okay.
If you think you're in love at first sight, mate, go home and sleep, please. You're fucking asking for a rough one there.
Nice. Back to you, Mr. Kemp.
Akash finishes. Are you excited for Fuckboy Damo to emerge after LASIK surgery?
I think Fuckboy Damo has always been there since day one. Have you seen the man himself, Jeezy, with the hair slicked back on a night out? He's a weapon. So Fuckboy Damo is already existing, but I think with LASIK surgery, it's going to be absurd.
Well, yeah. So, like, LASIK's the completion of the montage of Damo vis-a-vis Fuckboy, and now he's, like, rocking, he's climbed the mountain, and he's ready to go. That's what he's saying.
I think the only thing could change it if, I can probably 4 years down the line, you just see Damo ripped as... Oh, no, fucking Damo ripped as fuck. That would be it. That would be the epitome of fucking manliness.
Chris Chadwick asks, why do you only bowl full pace when playing for other clubs and associations?
I think if that was last season, I would agree, because I probably only bowled full pace a couple of games. But this season, no chance. I would like to code a certain Rolly Stone game. I did my best to bowl as quick as I could bowl. So I've been trying.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to put on the spot.
Yeah, just hit the lines and lengths.
Yep. Stephen?
Speaking of Fuckboy Damo, Damon Tiernan writes in, what is your favourite wicket that you've ever taken?
That I've ever taken? Fuck, that's a hard one.
You've taken a few, have you?
I don't actually know how many wickets I've ever taken. Probably... the Rolly Stone game this season. I think the first wicket, they were going all right. We got through the first opening bowlers, Sean and Pinto, didn't end up getting a wicket. And the bloke looked like he was probably going all right. And he went through five of my first balls, and I thought he was all right. And the sixth ball was the only in-swinging delivery I've landed right this whole season. Yeah, it was a bit of Sean at Jandakote. It pitched off stump, probably hit middle, he left it. And they're like, yep, I'll take that all day, every day.
Very handy.
In swing bowling is very sensual. It's a sensual art.
It's a hard art to master, but it's good when it does land.
Very nice. Chatty then asks, if you started a double life now that you're working FIFO.
No, I think I knew I was only going to do it for like 3 months, so I'm still very Perth-based. When I'm on site, I've got a routine on site where I just kind of go through the routine. It's 8 days gone, looking forward to what I do when I get back to Perth, and I'm still very Perth-centred.
Very nice. Steve?
Both Damon and Arby wrote this question. So Arby wrote, can you please explain the origins of the common phrase, fuck up Angad, whereas Damon said, fuck up Angad, please explain.
Do I remember the origin is the big question. I think it was one of our, he's played for us. He's played for Kenwick, Vaishak. VBN. One of the nights. I don't know how long ago, to be honest. I wouldn't be able to retrace it that far back. I think one of the nights, it was either on our trip down south or we were all here. Yeah, one of those fine nights where everyone's drinking, I'm talking like I do, as Denny said, I swallowed radio when I was younger. I'm fucking yarning, fucking going on. And he's just out of nowhere, just gone, fuck up Angad, and everyone's just lost their shit, and that stuck ever since. The boys love to tell me to fuck up when I keep going.
Ian wants to know, what's your morning routine before a game of cricket? Now, I know on the weekend you said you found a local food court that you didn't know about and had a good time.
Well, the weekend was interesting. I did get home at about 7 o'clock.
Nice.
So that was more of a night routine than a morning routine. but generally, before 4, like when I'm playing, if I'm playing top side, not that I have any disrespect to any other sides.
Mate, you rocked up, you did a job.
It's more about the commitment of fucking probably getting spanked around if I'm rocking up hungover.
Mm-hmm.
I like having an early morning. I wake up, as most boys know, I generally wake up around 6:37, naturally, don't put an alarm on. Like having a breakfast, but not at home for some reason. So I'd rather drive out, have a breakfast by myself. If the game's near a beach, I'll go drive down to the beach. But if it's not, then yeah, have a breakfast around 9 or 10, chill around for an hour, get to the game probably early, an hour earlier before the game. Just relax. I just like having a relaxed morning. Listen to some music. Be chill.
Nice. Very good. I've got, how many questions do you have left there, Stephen?
1, 2, 3, 4. Yep, 4.
Alright, you go next. I've only got one left here.
It's starting to get pretty rogue. Richard Pinto writes in.
Oh, here we go.
Ask him to rate his performance in Bali.
I think I'd say I was not the worst on for sure. That would go to a certain Mr. Richard Pinto, given that he had the Bali belly and didn't make it the last 2 nights. I was not amongst the bottom. I was there with the boys and for the boys as much as possible.
Can you elaborate that on that any further?
Nothing physical there, just emotional support for the boys during the Bali trip. Retrieving drunk men when possible. Retrieving myself when possible. So I'd say it was a decent performance. Enjoyed the night. Stayed out on most nights. Last survivor on a couple of nights. It's hard to beat with it, but I tried to do it. I'd say a good 6.5 out of 10. I'd say.
Okay.
Decent performance.
Bit of like CC plus stuff.
Yeah, bit of that about it.
Okay.
Dinny wants to know if you'd ever bat with him again in indoor cricket.
That is a negative. I refuse to play with Dinny in indoor cricket, let alone batting.
Bang. What's the reason?
That almost killed me.
What did he do?
This man cannot fucking... So for the first season and a half, I'm playing with him outdoor cricket. Struggled to clear the 30-yard circle. And then he starts whacking them in winter season, as we all know.
Yeah.
Started fucking racking the runs up.
He's going to have a big year. He's back.
Kempy told us to come down and play indoor cricket. Gone down with the man. Batting.
Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, standing on the other end. Then he smacks one straight down into my throat.
Oh, no.
Did not give me a chance to move, let alone fucking duck. Almost choked to death. Regretted that much that I haven't played a game of fucking indoor since. So, yeah, no chance.
Fair
Absolutely
enough.
Absolutely none. Unless I have fucking protection on, I'm not batting with Denny.
Fair enough. Steven?
You just got to stand on the offside for Denny. That's the case.
I proceeded to do that for every other fucking game I've played.
Anytime I play indoor with Sarav, I'm like, and we bat together, I'm like, okay, look, man, I know you got a vibe going on. Which side should I stand on? Where will I be safest?
Offside corner.
Yeah.
No chance of hitting over cover.
Richard concludes the three bean mix. Ask him about crashing his Gojek in Bali.
I didn't crash it. I did drive a Gojek in Bali. Probably not one of the smarter decisions in life, but I do have a beautiful video to show for it. And I made it back alive. That's what matters. I believe I still have... Do I? Oh, no, it's clean. There's a bit of darkness about here. But there was a scar that did show my Gojek adventures in Bali. But yeah, all it took was $10 and asking the Gojek driver if I could drive him back from the club. Which I proceeded to do and we both make it back alive. So that's where I'll leave it.
Was it a short trip?
It took about 10 minutes.
Okay. Were you on highways?
Oh, no. Mate, there are no highways in Bali. Oh, but there's all streets.
Oh, there are some busy roads there.
Well, yeah. Maybe some decently busy roads. We made it back. He was shouting instructions at me from the back. He's got left, brother, right, brother, straight, brother. You slow down, brother. Like, yeah, all right, we'll get there, brother.
Well, I'll go on a few of my own questions while we're still going through them. I wanted to ask you about stir fries. So if you're at home, are you
Matty,
going?
Matty, I have observed the question. I'll cut you out there, mate.
Yep.
You're a fucking disappointment if you eat rice with your stir fries.
Well,
On noodles, otherwise stop talking about fucking stir fries.
I can reveal I received a Snapchat from Ian Archibald today. Did anyone else receive this Snapchat from Ian?
No, not fortunate enough.
He sent me a Snapchat and I screenshot it and saved it. And he goes, Matt, I'm changing the game, and sent me a video. I'm making stir fry with rice and noodles.
In the same...
Together.
In the same...
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's as big a fucking abomination as pineapple and fucking pizza.
That was really rogue. But yeah. That
fried rice noodle stir fry?
Just no.
Yeah, it's going with both.
Also, yeah, just rice with stir fry is just fucking fried rice. Please, just stop even asking that question. That doesn't...
We will continue to ask it.
Thank you. The only way I'll allow it from Ian's point of view, if it was under the tutelage of Swanee, because as we know, she's a fantastic girl.
I think he's done it himself by the looks of the video.
Well, then shame. Shame on your family.
I think some cultures do noodles and rice around the world. I know Korean stews involve some noodle and rice-age going around.
Interesting.
I don't have anything against the rice or the noodle. I just don't think they should be together.
Fair enough. Well, back to you, Stephen.
Be like a German and a Jew during the 1940s.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just saying it would be very good. It'd be controversial.
And you had to filter out some questions.
And who knew? Who knew? So, Anonymous, these are a couple of would you rather questions. These aren't the worst would you rather questions I've ever seen, but they're pretty close. Would you rather have sex with your mum in your girlfriend's body or your girlfriend in your mum's body?
What the fuck?
Now, I should preface it by saying there's a gun to your head. Like, there's no escape. You have to do one of these two.
I think girlfriend's body at that point. If you are going to do the harm, either way, you think you're going to fuck your mum. Well, I'd at least rather a fucking better body.
Fucking Jesus.
Yeah, you're committing the sin anyway, mate.
back to myself. Favorite movie. Do you have a favorite movie or favorite genre or a go-to?
Favorite movie. There's two there. Probably a lot of boys will agree to this one. It used to be Top Gun, but now it's Maverick since they did it better. Well, not did it better. They did it justice making the new one.
Nice.
So Maverick's one. I've already watched it four times, I think. The second one would be, if I can remember this name right. Have I forgotten the name? Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Bit of horror stuff?
No, bit of Americans in the Vietnam War stuff. But about a man who refused to use firearms. So he was the medic. It's a beautiful story, Hacksaw Ridge. Watch that if you ever get time.
Is it on any of the current streaming services?
I'm sure it would be.
I believe it's either on Stan or it's definitely on one of the streaming, because I saw it recently. It's one of the streaming services for sure. Stan, Prime, or Netflix, one of the three, it's definitely there.
Okay.
Is it fair to assume then you're a big Tom Cruise man?
Well,
not really.
I wouldn't say a big Tom Cruise fan, but I'll watch Tom Cruise movies, yeah.
Okay, yep. Do you have any more questions?
I've got one last anonymous question.
Yep.
Would you rather watch your parents have sex every day for the rest of your life or join in once to make it stop?
I think I've already committed the sin by fucking saying how fuck my mother. May as well, boys, get it over with. I fucking wish to have a long life and I don't want to be watching that every single day, so if I can chuck it and have it once.
Because you got to think as well. I mean, joining it once is probably the sensible option. Like, if you're gonna,
mate, it's brutal fucking watching it every day.
If you have to cop a bullet, like, better to cop that bullet once than, because like your parents have to have sex every day, right? And they're gonna get old, so they're gonna get like 80. No, you're gonna see some decrepit shit.
It's kind of like, would you watch someone get shot every single day in the head, or would you walk in once and take it on the shoulder? I'd fucking take it on the shoulder on the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favourite cricketer growing up?
Growing up, Yuvraj Singh.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like we're out of listener questions now. Mm-hmm. So you were born in
Delhi.
In Punjab? Delhi? Delhi? Okay. When did you come to Australia?
I was 14.
Okay.
2013, I believe. Midway through 2013.
Okay. What was life like for you as a 13, 14 year old coming to Perth? Like, was it to Perth or was it to
It was to Perth. It was straight to Perth. Straight to Willerton. Went to Willerton Senior High in year 9, probably 3/4 of the way in.
Rough time to start high school, just quietly.
Very rough. So you struggle to find your feet. You struggle to find where you sort of belong, what group you fit in, where's your home. Because you've already done that in whatever school you went to before.
Yeah, previous high school.
So coming off having my group of friends settled, knowing where I existed, knowing everyone around me, to coming and finding my feet again in a completely different culture, it was rough. But yeah, it takes a while. It probably took me almost till year 11 to really get like a core group of friends again and know like this was fine, this was home,
comfortable,
get comfortable again. So yeah, it was rough. Education wise it was fine. India's education is way harder than what we study here.
Why does that not surprise me?
It's a fucking joke. I came in year 9, even all through year 10 I never struggled based on what I'd learned in year 8 and 9 in India. But yeah, it was educationally it was fine. It's just more the circle you grew up in.
So, like, the couple of the boys, like, say you were at Willerton High?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to school with, well, a couple of the boys were older than me. Rav, Raj, even Denny, I believe, were all in the year above. Sherman, if you've met him, he's filled in for us a couple of times. He was the year above. Anyone else? No, I think that's it from Willerton. Vaishak was with me. I've known him for fucking 8 years now. Yeah, sorry if I'm forgetting anyone, but I think that's it. That's the boys I went to school with.
What was the most confronting thing you found about coming here at that time? Because, you know, like what if year 9, you're 14, 13, 14, going through some stuff, you know, vis-a-vis puberty. You're like, what was the, you had a lot going on is what I'm saying. So what was the most confronting thing you found about coming here?
I think like, as weird. Oh, well, it's hard to say. It wasn't anything. It's not racism, but there's like a certain way people think about certain cultures. So there's stereotypes that have existed, right? And the kids, the brown kids that have grown up here, they are kind of accustomed to the culture. So they don't generally fall in those stereotypes. But coming from a completely different culture, you try and step away from your own culture and where you've come from to avoid existing in these stereotypes. But it takes a certain, as you mature up, it takes a certain level of maturity to just go, I really couldn't care less. I am who I am, and I fucking accept, like, my own culture. So for me personally, I listen to only Punjabi music. Like, I don't listen to a lot of English music. But I would be, like, year 10, year 9, I used to hesitate playing it or listening to it because someone might make fun of me.
Yeah.
But over the years, I've just gone, I couldn't care less. That's the kind of music I enjoy.
That's
why,
yeah.
So if you guys want to listen to it, you can. If you don't, I really don't need to be mates with you. Like, I can just find better mates.
Yeah.
Who are more accepting of that shit.
Yeah, because it would be like the battle of, like, assimilating and, like, to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Versus not disrespecting your heritage.
Yeah. Just finding comfort in your own self rather than trying to fucking chase something else.
Fair enough. Do you go for India in the cricket? Are they the team you
absolutely.
Support? Yeah.
I fucking hate the Aussies. No. The only time, well, yeah, I want India to win, and then fucking hate the Lunkins because the Lunkin boys give us enough shit about it. But I think the only time I want Australia to win is when we're playing either England or Pakistan. Yeah, fucking beat them, boys.
Now let's say Kenwick game. It's the last over of a match, and the opposition needs 3 to win. Besides yourself at the club, who are you picking to bowl that over?
Fuck, that's a tough one. I was about to say, fuck me, I'm bowling. I'd rather lose the game than see someone else bowl that last over. Like, I'd rather lose the game but take it on me,
yeah,
not do getting there, than see someone else do it. Other than me, that's fuck. Who can bowl under pressure? Because at that point, it's pressure. It's not about who's a good bowler; it's pressure. I would probably say Richard Pinto. I'd fucking toss the ball to Pinto. Because, yeah, just experience speaks at that point. He's the oldest bowler among us, and he's fucking played enough cricket. He's been around. He can probably handle the pressure. And he could take the loss. Like, I'd love to say package, but he'd be shattered if we lost.
Mm.
Pinto could actually take it.
Interesting.
It's about that, too. It's about maturity of taking that.
Yep, nice. Stephen?
I don't know if you saw or how much of the podcast you've actually listened to. Like, are you...
I've listened to more.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So you listened to Dave's episode last week.
Yeah.
How do you respond to the boy band claims? Like, Dave-O obviously wants you in his boy band.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I love it that he wants me there. And I think the only role I could play is I'd be the fun guy. I'd keep the boys entertained. I'd fucking make sure everyone was having fun.
Nice.
So I think I'd play that role in the boy band.
They need that.
They definitely need that. When you're on tour, mate, and you're getting fucking bored just playing a gig after gig after gig, you need someone to get fun.
Damo's a great pick in that boy band,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, mate, Damo would be lead singer.
So I wasn't too sure about Connor Breed. Is he a bit too serious?
No, he's a rig based selection. He's the one like on the far right of the picture, just being like staunch.
I think Connor brings in the ladies, and he also prevents you from going overboard.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now let's say he gets to the grand final, Shan comes up to you and says, "I need you to play a song to pump up the boys." What do you think you're going with?
I think I have a fucking whole playlist made for the finals, which I played the last finals. I don't know if I've deleted it already.
That's a man who's prepared.
Oh, it's gone. Yeah. It clearly didn't work in the semi-finals, so I deleted it. But it was like a fucking 8-minute musical fucking build-up of... I think it was either Lose Yourself or one of the things.
Like a mashup?
Just musical, sorry?
Like a mashup?
Yeah, just like a mashup. Fucking 8 minutes, like... it just built up.
It peaked the at the end.
Peaked yeah. as we went, and like it was more sort of you play it 10 minutes to go.
Nice.
And you finish it on there, and as soon as it finishes, you walk out.
I like that.
What's your favourite find that you've accused or given someone, or favourite find, or and favourite find that you've copped?
Favourite find that I cop, best beard in the team. I cop it every week. I cop repeat offence for that. I happily fucking cop it. Favourite find that I've given out. I think I've cost a few boys some boxes over the years, over the last two seasons. Did I cost a box recently? Not too sure, to be honest. I haven't played 4th grade in a while. I think I'd maybe at some point last season I cost Abby 2 boxes in the first game he played. Not too sure. I think one was being late, and the other. Oh yeah, I got Abby to step on the field before Shehan did. I just held Shehan in the back, and Abby walked on. That was a box. I love that one.
This week just gone, I caught Arby drinking with his right hand.
Yep.
And called it out. And he was so dirty. He's legit like looking at me like, I'm going to fucking catch you.
Should have gotten him another time for saying the fucking word.
Another question we always ask, if you're stranded on an island, which Kenwick player do you think you're taking with you?
I've pondered over that because I listen to that question every week, and I've got a very straight answer for you. I think... I'd if it's just one, it's Vep.
Yeah.
Sheer fucking muscle in the man.
Yeah.
And the endurance of just fucking, if we need to build a raft, he will build that fucking raft. also a fair amount of brains going around on that guy. He's got fucking IQ on him. But if I was allowed to take two, Dinny would be the other one.
Okay.
You'd underestimate the man based on looks and how he normally behaves. He's a very useful man. He knows how to fucking fish. He's good with camping. He'll keep you alive, but you just got to keep him sober. You can't let Giles walk in. Because Giles would fucking burn your raft and just fucking piss on it. So just don't let Giles come in.
Got a lot of time for Dinny. Real big time.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty keen. I'm looking forward to Fines Day this year. I'm going to poke the bear. I want to see Giles.
You'll probably see Giles.
It's like
probably going to be one of the last times you see Giles since the man is engaged now.
How did we not see Giles last year? What happened?
Well, I mean, is he hiding? Like, what is he doing?
I think if the boys are already all drinking really hard, Giles doesn't appear. But if the boys are being mellow, Giles would be the first one up.
Like, takes it upon himself to
just lift the
raise
mood.
Raise the mood.
Well, while raising the mood, raises the temper on a couple of boys.
Brings the mood down.
I really want to meet this Giles.
Your favourite Kenwick memory in your illustrious 23-game career?
Winning the one-day flag has to be it. Fucking both teams winning the one-day flag. Mm-hmm. Celebrating together in the middle of the pitch. Our main man, the captain, pulling his fucking shorts down and giving the other captain a kiss.
That was hot.
That was something. That's one of the core. It's a core memory. Celebrating with fucking passion pops. Just a Kenwick moment to be had.
Very nice. I know we took those horrible Western drafts out there and got rid of them pretty quickly. However, not good. How do you think your form is at the moment, and how do you think 4th grade are going to go come the end of the season and the one-day final?
I think might be a bit iffy. I haven't fucking played in a while. I don't know with the ball. Well, I am carrying an injury, so we'll see how that goes. I think with the ball I'm doing all right. With the bat I haven't scored runs in a while. I was hoping to score some runs in one day B's, but when then my fucking inner thoughts took over and I started fucking reverse skipping and running down the pitch and got out. But I hope to score some runs in the next game. Personally, that's about it. And team wise, I think we're going really well. I think we just need to hold our nerves in the big games.
Yeah.
Still a very inexperienced team. Fresh captain, fresh team.
Mm-hmm.
Still learning the game, getting better. So just hold our nerves and do well in the big boy games. And I think it's time for the experienced boys to show up when the fucking game matters, score the big runs when it actually matters against the big teams.
Yep.
And we shall be all right. I'm expecting at least if not two, at least one flag this season from the fours.
That'd be hot.
Fuck yeah. I think we've got a nice balance in that side, to be honest with you.
We do now, yeah. Well, we, at the start of the season, we were very bowling heavy. And Rav was the only one scoring the runs. But I think with Tills and Chad being in form and Vep scoring some runs.
Colby.
How can we forget the man, Colby? Mm. Smashes a six to win the fucking carnival. Can't forget him. Colby and the team, Raj being a handyman down the order. And hopefully I can get 20 odd somewhere. So
yeah, Pinto's in a bit of good batting form recently, isn't
he? Yeah, he's been licking them down the order. Mm. So yeah, good. Seems like a good balance going into the last few weeks of cricket here.
Nice. My final question before we get Stephen's last couple. It's a bit like the bowling question. So you need six off the last bottle win. You can't pick yourself. Who you backing in to hit the six?
Last ball. So Rav's probably not around. Mr. Kanaga.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
I'll back Kanaga.
Yeah. See, if it's in his half, it's going, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. See, if I'm taking a chance on a fucking low order batsman, it's Kanaga.
Yeah.
Because if he hits it, it stays hit.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah.
Stephen, your last couple of questions.
Can I answer that question?
If you want to.
Michael Kurnow.
Well, that's horrible.
Gotcha.
I want to delete that.
Gotcha. Last couple from me. What are your plans for next season? Have you thought that far ahead?
I think that's a question that few people want answered. I have no other plans other than this club as for the foreseen time. I haven't thought about it. I haven't thought of leaving. There's no reason to leave. If I'm fucking doing the five for all anyway next season. Hopefully if I can win the fourth grade and play second grade, that would be ideal. We'll take the club forward.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Because
it'd be real nice to have you in second grade. It'd be real dog shit to rock up to second grade and not have you. Oh, g'day, boys. Welcome. Welcome to cricket.
Mm.
Yeah, very nice. Well, Anger, it's been a pleasure having you on. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, I've had a lovely time, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for accommodating us and my schedule. You know, just rocking up to or finishing a SMCA P&D at 8:15 and you're making your time for us both of you. So thank you very much for accommodating my busy schedule and hope the boys go well this weekend.
No stress. We'll see you all next week.